Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're going to start in Romans chapter 6. We'll start there. Work our way to Romans chapter 7. All right, Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we shall no longer be slaves to sin. Say no longer?
No.
Slaves to sin.
Slaves to sin.
So what allowed us to be set free from being a slave to sin was that the old man was crucified with him in the body of sin. Do you see what those two comments there? Old man, body of sin in verse 6. Is it the same in the King James Version? Old man, body of sin. You, if you want to underline that, that's up to you. But those two are referring to the same thing. The thing that kept you a slave to sin was the sin nature. The body of sin here and the old man are both referring to this nature of sin that breathed sin into you. It pushed sin. It made you desire sin. But now we're no longer slaves to sin, because we were crucified with Christ. Now we're going to come over to chapter 7. And Tiffany, will you come up again and be our model today? And maybe Mike in the back, can you come? And you can be the bad guy today. I'll have you come up on the stage if you would. Daniel, come on up. All right, Daniel, you're the bad guy again. Okay, so let's go ahead and hook arms. They're married. Now, verse 1 of chapter 7. And I'm going back to last week if you weren't here. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. So we know that he's talking here about a man who is not born again yet. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives she marries another man, she can be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, although she's married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to him. Now, David, why don't you come on up here? And so they're married, and this is what Paul is referring to. He said, legally, it's impossible for her. No, Mike, you stay right here. I still need you. Yeah. Legally, it's impossible for her under the law to marry another man. Now, she can look at her husband and he's everything she thought she didn't want, she got. And every bad thing you can think of in a husband, this guy is. And so she looks over wanderingly over at David, who's pure as what pure as can be, as perfect, chiseled abs, everything you could think of you want in a husband. This is him right here. But legally, Paul says under the law is what holds them together. The law, when you got a ring on your finger, the law is what holds you together. Now, so what do we know that happened? Paul says, well, legally, there is a way for her to get another husband. But the first husband must die. She can't just leave. And he's trying to bring a connection between being born again and the process of being born again with marriage. And he's saying, legally, the Jew is married to the nature of sin. In fact, the whole world was. And there was no way legally for them just to switch. I'm sure Adam, the moment he sinned, and as Gary says, the nature inside of him twisted into this ugly creature, God looked at Adam. And do you know that God still loved Adam as much after he sinned as he did before he sinned? God looked at Adam and said, I love you. And Adam looked at God who said and said, I love you. And they both loved each other, but the problem was what? It wasn't that they loved each other. The problem was now Adam was a different creation. He was a different creature than he was before he sinned. Before he sinned, he was the image of God. After he sinned, he's a different creature. As much as Adam loved God and God loved Adam, they can never be father and son again. Because why? Because their natures were now different. As different as I am from my dog. Our natures are different. I can love my dog can love me, but I'm never going to be the father of my dog because the dog's nature is different than mine. So that's what this is referring to, the nature of sin, the body of sin, the old man. Right there, old man. He's even getting wrinkly and gray-haired, and look how young she is and modelly she is. And she's married to this guy. He's got no money. He's broke. He doesn't work. Now, I'm not talking about Daniel. I'm talking about the old nature, all right? So as much as she wants to marry Mr. Perfect Captain America here, she can't because the law says she cannot just divorce him and get another man. And there's part of that we need to learn in America today about, you know, don't jump into marriage until you're sure. I think if we put more weight on this, we wouldn't jump so quick into marriage. But that's another sermon. I'll get into that another day. It's better to stay single and be happy, ladies, than be married and be miserable. All right, so here she is married, and so Paul's saying she's not allowed to just divorce him. But there is a way under the law for marriage. Now, in this image, the law is what's holding them together because they accepted marriage. Okay. Now, but there is a way. He has to die. So what happened? Jesus came, said, and went up there and went in place. We can read where it says he became sin and then he died. So they both, he became the ugly husband and then they both died. And it wasn't her cooking. And then, verse 4, therefore you are buried with him through baptism in the death that Jesus, this is where accepting Christ is accepting the death of the old nature, which is more than just saying the sinner's prayer. See, it is accepting that I'm putting to death the old nature, the old man, the body of sin, the very thing that caused me to want to sin, that not just want to make me to sin. The thing that made me to sin, where I couldn't stop. You can take a cat. A cat has a nature. Now think about it. A cat has a nature. So a cat only knows how to be a cat. Now I can take an apple, and I can take it in front of a pretty little cat and go, come and get the apple. And it's going to maybe sniff it, and maybe lick it, and go, yeah, I'm a cat, stupid. I don't eat apples. Unless, I don't have a cat, but a cat won't eat an apple. But you take a mouse. I remember as a kid seeing a cat grab a mouse. That cat just, it was like ice cream to a cat. See, its nature makes it that way. You can't talk to a mouse and say, stop being a mouse. So here, Paul is describing the reason why it's impossible to stop sinning was because you have in you a body of sin, a nature that makes you the way you are. And you're married to it. But if it dies, so this is how he's trying to give a legal reason. See, Jesus, God, couldn't just come and rescue mankind. He had to legally purchase back. You wonder why did it take 4,000 years for Jesus to come? Because that's how long it took to make a legal case for a Redeemer to come. He had to legally bring a Savior so that you can say with your mouth and believe in your heart that I am agreeing that today I accept Jesus into my heart and I put to death the old man. I put him to death. And I used to make fun of people because, you know, you'd have sweet people come up and they'd say, oh, praise the Lord, today's my birthday. And I'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't see it on Facebook. I didn't know it was your birthday today. And they say, oh, no, not my natural birthday, my spiritual birthday. I'm 12 years old, hallelujah. I got born again 12 years ago. And I go, oh, and I pat them on the back. Oh, that's so cute. You know, so cute. Such a cute idea. That's nice, you know. But as I grew, how many are thankful for praying in tongues? As we begin to learn and grow in who we are and understand more who we are, I start to realize they're correct that I never existed until the day I was born again. Yet I still have this body on me. So he's talking, the body of sin here is the nature of sin, the very nature that Adam became when he sinned and passed down generation after generation. On a side note, I'm writing my letter this month on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I'm making a case for, who put the tree there? Did God put the tree there or did Lucifer put the tree there? Not that he created the tree, but think about it. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, if it was a test of God to test you, to say to you, all right, Adam, if you eat of this one fruit, there's consequences. So it's like it's like me taking my 8-year-old daughter and saying, now you can have anything you want in the kitchen. And then, except for, and I put a little chocolate bar right in the middle of the table, except for this chocolate bar. Now, don't eat this chocolate bar because I want you to prove to you that you love me, that you're loyal to me. And so my little girl climbs up on the table, and when she pulls that chocolate bar, which she will, it's tied to a string that's tied to a switch. And as soon as she unwraps that bar, think about it, she unwraps that bar, the switch goes off, and it sets off a bomb that goes, a nuclear bomb, that blows up the entire world and gives it radiation for 1 billion years, where every living creature, man, animal, plant, the earth itself is twisted and mutated for the next 1 billion years from me testing my little girl with one little test. That's how ridiculous it is for us to think that God likes to test us. See, but you'll have to get the letter to get that. Adam passed down the nature of sin, and all of mankind was stuck with it, but they didn't know. No one knew. Just like a cat, you can say, you know, I wish you wouldn't eat. I don't mind you killing the mice, but don't eat the mice because it's so, I mean, the crunch of the bones itself is just so disturbing. You can hear the bones crunch. But the cat is enjoying what it did. It's so proud. And its nature is teaching it how to be that way. So what did God bring to show the world? First, the Jewish people, what did he bring to show them that there was something wrong with them? You know the answer, the law. So this is, now we know the story here. Our guys, if they're not asleep, I don't know if they had their coffee yet this morning. So the old man, the body of sin, the source of sin that forced her to sin, died. Jesus died because Jesus became sin, then he died, and then when she chooses, see, she also, for this to happen, she has to agree with Jesus. She has to make that statement of faith that I am born again, so she died. Then she's resurrected, and as Christ is resurrected, okay, David, is resurrected, and he comes, and he's perfect, and they get married. Dun, 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 dun. And now she is one with Christ, the new nature. Amen. So this is the process of being born again. Now, let me change it up a little bit. I'll have you step down. You can step down. Thank you. Give them a big hand clap, please. And Mike, why don't you come? So the same process happens, but he used marriage as a reference, but this is going to be a man. So come to this side. No, right there. Yeah, go to the other side of David. But, well, let me see. Daniel, come again. Let me, for the sake of visual. So the same thing happens to a man in the sense that Daniel is the sin nature. Go ahead and change places with David. David, come on down here. See, this is a guy now, not referring to marriage, because this is now talking about the new nature and the old nature. See, the first imagery that Paul brought was marriage, being married to a guy and then wanting another guy. But as we read on, we'll see he then goes into explaining that compared to the nature. So that's why I have Mike up here so you can see differently. So Mike is connected to this body of sin, this nature of death. The law is not no longer holding them together. What does the law do? The law exposes, it shows that they're connected together. The law shows that he cannot get rid of Daniel. He cannot get rid of that sin nature. No matter how much he wants to say, I want to be a child of God. In the Old Testament, no matter how hard they wanted God to be sons of gods and daughters of God, it was impossible because Jesus did not come yet. But when Jesus came, the same thing happened. He went and became sin for you and then died. And then they died and then was resurrected. And then the nature of Christ became yours. Thank you. Just hold on to him there. Daniel, stay there. You're dead. All right. And the way Gary described it was really good. When he's married, when he's connected to that sin nature, go ahead, Daniel, come up, switch again. When Mike is connected to that sin nature, he is condemned to it. You know what condemned means? When someone's condemned for life in prison, there's no getting out. There's no way out. Doesn't matter. You can bribe all you want. There's no way out of prison. You get a life sentence. You're condemned. Life sentence. That's it. There's no way out. In Jude, it talks about the angels being chained to darkness. Now, I used to believe that meant they're in hell, but they're not there yet. They're running around causing trouble, the demons. What it refers to, I believe, is that they've gone across a line of accountability to a place where they can't get saved. They can't be rescued. And so they're now chained to the dark nature. There's no way they can get back to God for eternity. They are chained to darkness. They're condemned. See? So as much as Mike here wants to get free from this nature, he tries. This is before he's saved. He tries because the law comes and the law exposes that he is condemned to that nature. He's connected. There's no way away. And the law shines a light right on that connection where their arms are held. So he tries to get away. I'm going to quit coveting. And he can't. He is a slave to... He's a slave to what? To sin. He's a slave to sin. He's a slave to sin. If sin wants to go this way, Mike goes with it. And he tries to bring it back, and he can't. Sin is in charge. This is before you're born again. Now, he accepts Christ. Jesus comes. The nature that the body is sin, and the nature in the old man, what does what? Dies. And the new nature comes in, the new man. See, now he is free from sin. He's no longer a slave to sin, but he's now a slave to the new nature. All right, a slave to righteousness. Thank you, Brother Gary. And so now he is free from sin and free to live righteously. Now let's keep reading here. We'll go to chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin taketh opportunity by the commandment, produce in me all manner of evil desire. So instead of produce, we can say revealed in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, before the law came, I didn't know it was wrong to do stuff. I thought it was just life. But when the law came and said, thou shalt not, I tried not to. And it revealed that there was death working in me. Because the old nature is not dead. The old man's not dead. It produces death. It produces darkness. See? I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I was fine and alive and free until the law came and exposed to me that I was actually a death man walking with death being produced in me. And here it was supposed to bring life to me, but it exposed death in me. Verse 11, for sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing what? Death in me through what is good. So that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So the law exposed, let's switch places, boys. The law exposed to this man under the law, a Jewish man who's not saved, exposed in him, death is working in you. It's being produced in you. It is a generator of death, a desire of death. You're a slave to it. Because the law needed to show the Jew you needed a Savior. You cannot keep the law. Now, under the new rules of Christianity, the law is anything standard, anything good you try to do. You know, I don't dress up for church because, bless God, I'm not under the law. I'm not religious. It's a relationship. The way we've taken these verses and the law is a way of letting the flesh run freely. But here is saying the law came to show you that this is what a Christian should be like. This is what you should look like if you're a child of God. A child of God looks like this, acts like this, walks like this, talks like this. I remember being around a bunch of preachers one time that I always respected, and then they would, to show their liberty, begin to tell foul jokes, begin to cuss to show how free they were, and it was such it tainted me, like, that's unnecessary. We should be pursuing holiness, pursuing righteousness, pursuing all the things that the Bible says we can become. In fact, the dream, the fight towards holiness is faith that you are free. It's when you stop fighting, that's when you stop believing you're free and start trying to live out of who the flesh says you are. But the fight that you have towards holiness is a fight of faith saying, I don't have to put up with this. I'm free. All right, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but I hate to do it. So this is a man trying to be free while still attached to his sin nature. Go ahead, Mike, and try to practice good. Try to practice holiness. I will to do it. Now, I want to take very careful notice here. The word I. Because I here is saying that I want not to sin. See, sometimes we muddle up the flesh and the spirit, and we forget that you are not either of those. You have a spirit. You wear a flesh. But you are unique. You, who you are in this story, is capable. See, here Paul says, under the law, I wanted to be holy. See, a cat does not want to stop eating mice. It doesn't want to stop it. You, though, here he says, even with the nature of sin, I wanted. And this is important because finding out where you are is probably the most valuable thing you'll ever understand. So I did the things, for what will I do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. So I wanted not to do these things, but I did the things I hated. Why? Because he had a nature of sin, and he was prisoner to it. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but that sin dwells in me. So when I stopped trying to be and allow sin in my life, when I tried to stop, it kept producing death in me. My nature of sin. The law exposed the connection between the two. But now it is no longer I who do, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So he searched every corner of the earth trying to live as the law said he could live. No coveting. But he couldn't find it. There was no source for him to find the power to be free from this prison, these chains. For the good that I will to do, I do not find. Verse 19, but the evil I will to do not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me. Where is the evil that's present with him? That sin nature. That the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Now, if you want to underline this, this is right here, a powerful word, three words that we are going to have to explore later on. But I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Now, his nature is still sin. His spirit is still sin. So he's not talking about a born-again man yet. He's talking about himself. I am inside of a creature that I need to get free from. The inward man here is not talking about the spiritual body. He's not talking about a spiritual new nature. He's talking about you. I, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Say captivity. To the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, when it says the body of death, we can go back to chapter 6, where it calls it the body of sin. See, he's not talking about your flesh, this body that you wear. He's talking about the source of death, the nature of death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. So I thank God. Then he says the famous verse, there is now, say it with me, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now this is, and for some of us, we need to erase years of conditioning when we hear the word condemnation. See, you'll hear it preached in every pulpit. There's now no condemnation. So when you fall as a Christian, you have a bad day, and you do something you didn't like, or you struggle with something, it'll be preached, now there's no condemnation. In other words, did you repent? Yes, I repented. And I asked God to forgive me. I said, God, please forgive me for my sin. And I still feel bad about it. Well, brother, did God forgive you? Yes, he forgave you. Well, there's no condemnation. That's how it's preached. Now, how many know what I'm talking about? You should not feel bad about sinning after you repent for sinning. But that's not what this verse means at all. It's not talking about the feeling of bad, because that feeling of bad is a good feeling. It is, how do I say this right? It shows your conscience is not seared enough, that it's still yelling at you, hey, we don't do that anymore. It's when you don't feel bad that you need to worry about it. That means your conscience has been seared enough that you can't hear it anymore. Because conviction does not come to the Christian by the Holy Spirit. Conviction comes to the Christian by the new nature. Because it tells you, hey, 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 this is who we are today. We pursue righteousness. We pursue life. Because that's the nature that oozes out of us. So when it says there is now no longer a condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, what it simply means is the angels, I'll just use this, if that verse means this, that they are condemned to death, they're chained to darkness, they're no longer able to get free from darkness. Those demons that fell from heaven, angels that turned on God and were chained to darkness, doesn't mean they're in darkness right now, because if I were God, I'd just chain everybody up, just lock them all up. But they're running around this earth chained to a nature of darkness where they cannot ever, ever come back. They can never come back to God. There's no rescuing them. So here, Mike is trying to get free. He's can't get free. He tries, but he's a slave to sin. But then he simply says the words and in his heart believes that he can be born again. And when he says that, he agrees with what Jesus did on the cross. That allows the Holy Ghost to come in and put to death the old man, the body of sin, the old nature, and put it to death. And in a split second, the Holy Ghost grabs the nature of Christ and puts it inside of him, bringing him to life, newness of life, born again. He's no longer condemned to be ruled by sin anymore. That's the condemnation here. You're no longer trapped. And this is the hope of the gospel. Let me pause here and preach for a minute. The hope of the gospel is, however you find yourself once you get born again, how many know that when you get born again, this body, this flesh, is not born again? So it fights you. It fights you every step of the way. Before you're born again, your spirit man, the inner man, not the guy he's talking about here, but the spiritual man in you, and the outward body that you wear, were in total agreement, cell for cell. You were just one. But to be born again, inside of this shell, this earthen vessel, this body of flesh, he brought me to life. Now I live inside of this body of flesh. Now, depending on your upbringing and the things that you were broken, your soul was broken with, you may fight different things, and maybe fight something different than someone else. So if I brought in a plate of cocaine, said, who wants it? Now, someone here, and I'm not looking anywhere because I don't know nothing, may tackle through the crowd to grab that and run out the door with it, where you will look at it and go, why would people waste their life for white powder? How silly. Because your soul isn't damaged in that area. But I can find an area. In fact, the devil has little nerdy demons who analyze you to find the area in your life that feeds your fleshly soul. Yeah, I know. Some of you say amen too loud now. You just need to go, huh? What's he talking about? I don't know. Just hit your wife in the ribs and go, shh. Quiet. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm a good man. I'm perfect, you know. And so this message of the gospel is not to tell you, hey, you're born again, so be that person. The hope of the gospel is you're not condemned. So if you're struggling with an area, because the flesh is so much more than smoking, drinking, chewing, and running around with those doing, you know, it's so much more than that. Because if we limit it to that, we can go to God offering him, look how good I've been. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't dance. I've been singing lately like that. I don't dance. I don't do these things. So I give this to you to show you that I'm holy. But the flesh goes so much deeper. Fear of being fathered. Fear of abandonment. Fear of success. Fear of being a son and a daughter. The flesh has multiple levels of depth. And that's why this is a journey that takes longer than we wish. And so the point is, now you're not condemned. This is not to bring the emotion of condemnation or guilt to you. This is to bring hope that no matter what your struggle is, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's believing God, whether it's whatever it is, you're not trapped to live your life chained, because you're no longer chained. The hope of this is you are already free. You're already free. So the hope is I can actually live out of who He made me. And I can struggle. See, the fight that you have daily with things, that should show you that you're in faith, because you're fighting. When you're condemned, you take a prisoner and take him in the jail. You chain him up and lock him and say, you're here forever until you die. You're not getting out. He quits fighting. He quits trying to get out. He no longer, all the lawyers are done. There's no way to get out. He just goes, my life is over. This is it. But here he says, you're no longer condemned. So no, it's not talking about the fight. The fight in you to come up out of failure, to come out of struggles, to keep fighting, is the hope of the gospel. That I'm not condemned to be this way the rest of my life. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Talking about here, the flesh being unborn again, in the Spirit being born again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, now has set me free. I'm free from the law of sin and death. That was put to death. Are you still with me? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How many are born again? Wave your hand really good, or I'll give an altar call right now. All right. So now, because you're walking according to the Spirit, there's a righteous requirement of the law. See, now you're born again. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. So those who are not saved, the people of this world, we're not to be their convictor. They don't have a conscience to be the convictor. The Word of God and the Holy Ghost are to be their convictor. But those who live according to the Spirit, being born again, we are to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. The word Spirit has many meanings. How many know that the word Spirit can mean the same word in the Greek for Holy Spirit can mean new nature. And the same word for new nature and Holy Spirit can mean demonic spirit. That the only way to understand what this word is used for is through finding the context of it. Well, the same is for the word flesh. The flesh here can mean this body of flesh that you wear today, or the nature of flesh. And so only through understanding the context of it. And the same is with the word soul. It has different meanings too that have to be through understanding in the proper exegesis of the scripture. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, he's still talking about born again and not born again. To be carnally minded is death. Be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Since those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you want to give to God, no matter how nice you are, how gentle you are, how good of a person you are, there's no way to God. You can't please Him unless you switch natures. He cannot accept you as His child until you get born again. Say amen if you're still with me. But you are not in the flesh. Now He's talking about you born again. So verse 9 is when He starts to talk about the born again Christian. Say, that's me. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, wave your hand, Spirit of God, that's the new nature. But you are not in the flesh. So that's the flesh. They're dead, laying on the floor, buried. Here at this church is merry little spiritual burial plots of people who came up and got born again, and the nature of them died. The old nature. It's amazing. This is such a miracle, being born again. I mean, how was God able to rescue me out of me and create a new me for me to go into? See, that's why when you read the word I, this is a little complex. It takes a little time for us to figure it out. But you're not in the flesh. Wave your hand, flesh, from the grave. But in the Spirit. Wave your hand, Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, say, the Spirit of God, dwells in me. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So the only way to please God is to be born again. Before that moment, nothing can make God happy for you. And if Christ is in you, now here, look at this. If Christ is in you, wave your hand, nature. Yeah, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, wave your hand, nature. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? Mortal bodies. Now this is talking about the body you're wearing. Not the body of sin that died, but the body that you're wearing right now. The body that you were left behind. Because if God couldn't just get children out of nowhere. Well, God cannot just make children of God. He had to make them from children of Adam. So the body that you're left with. I mean, if He were to save you from the fight that you're in with your body, how many would like to not have to fight this old body? Now, He's not talking about the nature, because the nature is dead, but this old body, we can't wait till we get rid of it and get a new one. Now, we're not going to wander around heaven as ghosts or spirits. We're going to get eventually a new body. Hallelujah. And it's going to be made just like this body, but it's in different material that doesn't fight against the Spirit. But if the Spirit of Him, verse 11, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So through His Spirit. Now, I'm not going to go into more yet. Maybe another day we'll get into more people on stage here, but just so we don't get too far off into that. The body that you're wearing, this body, it says, who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, through the nature, wave your hand, nature, who dwells in you. In other words, now, because you're born again, you have no longer death being produced inside of you. You now have life being produced inside of you. Now, this gospel needs to be preached from day one to every Christian. But it's a shame that in the generations before, and generations before, and generations before, it's a shame that we have produced a religion that allows us to live out of our mortal bodies instead of living out of our spirit. And a compromise is made. Instantly, the word says you need to start not accepting. Now, I didn't say be perfect. I'm saying not accepting what your mortal body tells you who you are. Because the mortal body is more than just your hands. Because see, my hand, it does what I want. It has to do with your natural brain, your natural emotions. See, a dog has no spirit in it. But yet it shows all the emotions that you can show. Anger, jealousy, envy. It's amazing how animals chemically produce emotions. It's chemical-based emotions. When you get excited and someone goes boo, your adrenaline hormone goes poof, shooting up, and you run and you can fight like a crazy man. A grandma will lift a car off her grandchild because her adrenaline is so strong. It's amazing the emotions, how powerful they can be from your natural flesh. And if you're not careful, you will accept that as who you are rather than of who you're being free from. See, the point of not being condemned is that I don't have to accept anything that I've inherited from my natural man. I am able to fight my way to live into the spirit man that I am and make this flesh bow its knee. That's the hope of the gospel. If you're fighting, if you feel guilty about what you did, that's a good sign. As long as you don't think God is looking bad at you. The good sign is, I'm not condemned to this. I'm not chained to this. I don't have to stay the same. I may have failed today, but tomorrow I'm getting up and I'm going to try again. And tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to try again. I'm going to keep praying in tongues. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep reading the word for years. Listen, for years, I battled with things that I didn't want. I came to a place where I didn't want to get free from them. I got to a place where I quit asking for forgiveness because I figured, why ask for forgiveness? I'm pretty sure I'm going to do this again. I'm going to follow this again next week. Because every time I was tempted to it, I had a hard time overcoming it. But I had a hope. I could pray in tongues. I could pray in tongues for hours. And as I prayed in tongues, I began to mortify the things of my flesh. And it built me up to the place where I could actually do what I was free from and take it and strangle it and say, you're no longer allowed to live in my life. Now, the failing to it is not to bring guilt. Your nature will say, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's not who we are. But your flesh will say, yes, it is. It's who we are. See, and so if you accept it and say, well, I'm just going to keep doing this. I'm preaching Nathan's message now. So if I keep doing this freely, oh, well, one day it's just going to leave me. Then you're missing the point. The point is the fight. Fight it, fight it, fight it. You know, there's natural things you can do. The first thing you do is get rid of all your old friends. That's the first thing you do. If you want to be free from something, get rid of all your friends, because that's either your worst or best decision. You surround yourself with friends that think it's okay, you feel okay. That's why you are going to lose, you pursuers of holiness are going to lose a lot of friends, because they're going to go, you make me uncomfortable. You know, not because you said anything, but because you won't agree that it's okay to do things. So you get rid of your old friends. The next thing you do, a secret I learned a long time ago, no temptation, no sin. So if you are drawn to something that's not holy, if you're drawn to anything, whether it be of this world, it could be anything, there's a list a mile long, then if you don't let yourself get into the position where it's there, then no temptation. So if you're tempted to do something you're not supposed to do, if you're not married and you, or we'll get into everything, but I had one guy, I remember, he said, I failed. I said, what's wrong? Well, I went to a person's girl's house, just watch a movie. And I said, God, please, please give me the strength to make it through the night without failing. He said, God let me down. And I said, you idiot. What are you expecting to be there inside the house and God just to translate you into the church or into your car? I said, the way you fight is you don't go to there, because if you can't handle it, don't trust yourself. This is a natural way. Do not trust yourself to make a choice, because you probably will make the bad choice. Later on, as you become mortify that flesh more and more, you'll have the power to go to the same group of people that you were acting like and begin to rescue them out and say, hey, I used to have the same problem you did. I didn't see there was hope, but I found hope in Christ. So come and follow me and we'll get praying and we'll get you out of here. See, that's later on. That's not, well, you know, I need to go witness in the bar so I can, you know, and then we don't see you for 3 days, you know. But once part of your flesh has been submitted, then you can go back to God will send you back to the same group you got free from. All right, now I'm preaching too much here, so let's get back to the word. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, verse 13, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, this is what we call mortification. I'm putting to death the deeds of this mortal body that is on me. You see, it has deeds. It has desires that aren't from the nature. They're no longer who you are. But you have this earthen vessel on you full of plans and deeds and desires and lusts that your job, and this is as much of the gospel as bringing people to Jesus, is helping them get free from this mortal body. And us as well, saying, I don't accept this body that it has the power to tell me who I am anymore. That my job is to put it to death. Which is a couple of things. Practicing fighting it. Practicing brushing your knees off and asking for forgiveness. Practicing praying, fasting, worship, all these things. Because these things will help you get to the place where you look at it and say, you know, the day I was born again, I was set free from you. And you've struggled with me, but now I choose to no longer let you live in me anymore. And I've been there. I've been to where my toes were on the line, and I had to put something to death. But I knew once I crossed that line, I could never go back to it. And it wasn't that I wanted it anymore. It's just that I wanted to have the power to choose to have it if I wanted to. And so I chose not to put it to death, and then I had to go around the mountain again. Until I faced it. Well, God, use me. Listen, God, use me. God, use me for revival. Use me to be anointed. Use me for miracles. And he just keeps going around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain. Why? Because he won't sacrifice you. He won't sacrifice you for somebody else. One day he may ask you to be a martyr, but he won't do it for you. He'll ask you to do it. Am I preaching okay? Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, this we know is talking about the Holy Spirit now, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit man that we are children of God. So if you want to know if you're a child of God, don't ask your family. Don't ask the world. Just ask the Holy Spirit. He'll bear witness. Yes, you are a child of God. Even if you don't feel like a child of God. Even if you feel like a dirty, rotten scoundrel. You're still a child of God. Because the mortal flesh is what you're fighting. You're putting it to death. This is a process. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Isn't that an awesome verse right there? That whatever you're suffering in your flesh, to mortify it, the fight, the battle, to disagree when your mortal body says, this is who you are. Your mortal body is going to say, it will say to some of you, you're not good enough. It will say to some to you, you're not disciplined enough. You're not dedicated enough. You're not worthy enough. That's your mortal body telling you, Look at who we are. See, you're allowed to look at that in the mirror, this flesh, this mortal body, and say, I'm not you. Because your spirit man, the Holy Ghost, will say, you're a child of God. You're a king's kid. You're an heir of the kingdom of God. You have everything you need to walk and stomp around this earth on the devil's head. The devil himself cannot break you, destroy you, or stop you. But we have to agree that this mortal body is not who I am. It's the shell that I was left in. And my job is to take it and make it bow its knee. Now listen, there's a difference between mortification and discipline. Because there's many disciplined people out there who don't eat cheesecake every day or Krispy Kreme donuts. Who don't smoke, who don't drink, who don't fornicate. There's many dedicated, disciplined people who have disciplined their body into serving God, but is not talking about disciplining your body. It is a process called mortification, where it's much deeper than discipline. It is putting to death the rulership, the voice of that flesh. Because the flesh will be anything you want it to be. It'll dress up in high heels and a red dress, or it'll dress up in a robe where all you can see is eyeballs. The flesh will submit to that as long as it's alive. It will act how you'll let it live. This is a process of putting it to death. And this, my friend, is a lifelong process. It has to do not just with holiness. It has to do with every thought, every decision, the way you view yourself, the way you view God views you. And this is how every day you get up and you don't know how to fight. I don't know how to fight. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So even this whole creation, the universe, the sun, the moons, the stars, the earth, is going to be recreated. It's going to be created again, or recreated, however you want to look at that, and given into God. Now let me just finish with this. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Wave your hand at me, New Nature. You guys are doing a good job. Even ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So see, we're eagerly waiting for the redemption of what? See, the process isn't complete. We still have another 1,000 years possibly to go before the process is complete, until Jesus comes and gives us a new earth and a new heavens, and before we get this new body. Who knows before it's all complete? If there's a 1,000-year reign, we still got 1,000 years to go. He can come tomorrow, but we still got 1,000 years to go before the devil is put into the lake of fire for eternity. But that's coming. That's coming. And then he says, for we're saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what? Why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We don't give up believing that I can be holy. We don't give up believing I can be and walk on this earth as a child of God. And finally, how do I change? How do I get rid of this thing? I've tried and tried and tried. Just the fact that you're trying says you believe that you're born again. You believe in holiness. Not that you're acting it. Not that you're perfect yet. But the fact that you're trying. The fact that you feel the conviction is a good sign. It means that you are accepting that I am a child of God, born of him. And I am free from this. And I'm going to keep fighting it until the day I get my hand around its throat and make it bow its knee. And I get it down to almost its knee, and then I give up. And then I try again. Well, don't quit trying. Brush off those knees. Repent and feel fine with God, because God is proud of you for the fight. Remember that. And finally it says, how do I get help? Well, we know this verse. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our what? Our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So even though you don't know how to get there, we have a helper. Amen. We have someone who knows you. He was there. God was there when something bad happened to you. He couldn't stop it. But he knows the damage that it did to your soul. And he knows how to help you to overcome it and put it to death. The hope of the gospel. You're not condemned the moment you're saved to ever stay the same. Amen. And you are released. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.